Today we are on the fifth chapter of Tehillim, and I want to start, as we have been in previous weeks, with questions to get our minds stimulated. If you recall, last week we spoke about the way to go to bed. It was a lot about rigzu ve'atechata'u, as you go to bed at night, what are you focusing on, making sure that you're realigning your priorities and making sure that your priorities are matching what your aspirations for the day were. And now we're actually going to go to the flip side. And we're going to focus a lot on the morning today and what our kavanos are, what our mindset should be in the morning. And while we're going to learn Tehillim and obviously go through the Perek, what I want to do is really pluck out two psukim that sit in the middle of the Perek and discuss why it is we say it, when we say it, and really how it can impact our life on a daily basis. So if we discussed how last week nighttime really defines our priorities, let's think this morning about what morning time represents. So morning time for me represents endless, boundless possibilities. Right? When I wake up in the morning, so the day is fresh, it's full of excitement, there's this atmosphere that you can conquer anything, there's a certain confidence that permeates the morning. Nighttime already is when you have either succeeded or not succeeded in your day activities. But we even know, classically, in poetry, nighttime and daytime represent very different emotions. So the same way winter and summer conjure up different emotions, right? They call them the winter blues, right? And when you wake up in the morning and it's dark, and I think it's the worst part of living in that part of the world, was that when you woke up and left for work, it was dark. When you came home, it was dark. You never saw sunlight. So that affects your mood. Okay, so we know that weather affects your mood. That's why people in Florida are always so happy and chipper. And we know that that the time of the day, it's true. No, but it is true. Right? My mom always says, the second she steps out of that airplane and she sees her first palm tree, everything else fades away. Right? And we have to remember, because we see it on a day-to-day basis, although, Penny, we have far fewer palm trees than we did yesterday. They didn't ask my permission before chopping down half the trees on our block. But right, so we know that the time of the day impacts our mood. That in an ideal sense, the way you wake up in the morning really sets the tone for the day. And it's again why I referenced last week, so many people, certainly in the self-help genre, they emphasize the morning. Focus on the first few minutes when you wake up in the morning and let that set you on a trajectory for the day. Tehillim was way ahead of its time in that regard. Because what we're going to learn today and develop it a little bit further in Jewish thought is that the Chazal, the rabbis, were very in tune to how impactful the morning can be. That the way you start your first few minutes of the day, or in our case, the way you start the first few minutes of your encountering with Hashem, in large part defines the nature of that encounter. So let's get back to that, but let's go through the parak a little bit quickly, and then again we're going to tease out a few of the psukim and develop it a little bit more in depth. L'manatzeach ela nechilot mizmor la'David. Nechilot, again, in simplest terms, we'll say means it's an instrument. So, Amrai hazina Adonai bina hagigi. Give ear, right? Hazina, listen, right? Hazinu hashamayim. So listen, Amrai, to my statements, to my words. Adonai bina hagigi. Right? He translates here, consider my utterance. Now that's obviously repetition. But anytime there's a repetition, it's because there's a difference between the two of them. So what's the difference between a Amarai and Hagigi? Okay. So Rashi points out, based on the Midrash, that we're talking about two very different things. Sometimes you have the words to communicate your emotions. And sometimes your words fail you. Okay. So sometimes I'm feeling something and I'm able to verbally express it. I'm able to put words to what I am feeling emotionally. I need something. I want something. I'm able to come in to a conversation, whether it's with my spouse, whether it's with a friend, and I'm able to express it to them. And then there are times where I hit a wall, either because I can't define my emotions, because my emotions overwhelm me, because I am closed emotionally, right, for whatever reasons, and I'm unable to express what I am feeling. That, says Rashi, is what we're talking about here. Amarai hazinu, that which I say, Hashem, listen to it. But bina hagigi, consider, bina is not just listen.
Understanding.
It's understanding. In other words, it requires a depth, a perception, a level of understanding. Hagigi, to my utterance, Rashi says, are those things which I'm unable to communicate, which I'm unable to put into words, which I'm unable to verbalize. The clearest example I can give to you of this is the shofar. Rabbi Soloveitchik very famously writes that the shofar is a form of tefillah. Then we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, throughout Elul, on Aseres Mechuvah, at the end of Yom Kippur. It is a form of prayer. Now the irony of that is that the shofar has no words to it. And yet, it is the most authentic form of prayer in many respects. Why? Because what is the shofar? It's wordless prayer. It lacks verbiage. There are no words to the prayer. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, why is the very last thing we do on all of the high holidays is blow a shofar? It's strange. The end of Yom Kippur. That's the final thing we do. We've been davening for a long time, 40 plus days, getting up early, right? Staying up, whatever it is. Like, you're tired at that point. And the final thing we do is we blow a shofar. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, why? Because we're basically telling God, I'm out of words. And now I put my faith in you to make sense of it all. I've done my best. I've tried my hardest to communicate to you what I'm feeling emotionally. And now I'm just going to let out this raw emotional shriek. And I'm going to ask you, Hashem, to understand it. Because you understand me better than I understand myself. And so while I've tried throughout the high holidays to put words to my emotions, ultimately, we're human, we're finite, we are limited in what we can express emotionally. And so I let out this raw shriek and I say, Hashem, please put words to that. Please make understanding of what it is that I need and what it is that I want and what would be best for me. That is what David HaMelech is referring to here. Amarai Hazin, Hashem, there are certain things I can communicate verbally. I know that I need health. I know that I need certain things. But then there are certain things I can't really put words to. Either because I am too immature emotionally, because I haven't yet reconciled it in my mind to be able to express it, because it might be too emotional for me to fully express. It might be too hurtful for me to fully express. I'm not willing to go there yet emotionally. And so I say, Hashem, Bina Hagigi. Bina, understand it. You know me better than I know myself. You understand not just my mind and my heart, but you understand my kishkas. You know what's inside of me. We had our planning meetings the last few days. So one of our staff members must have been researching Myers-Briggs recently, because every point of the staff meeting, he was like psychoanalyzing everyone else on the staff. Oh, Matthew, that's because you're a QRS. I don't know what these things mean, right? And oh, Rabbi Goldberg, that's because you're an ETG, whatever it is, right? So Hashem, you understand that part. Like the part of me I don't even understand and the part of me I can't even make sense. You get that because you're omniscient and omnipotent and you get everybody. You created me. Therefore, you get me better than I get myself. So Hashem, we turn to you and we say, first, listen to my words, but even go deeper. Understand my essence. Understand the part of me that I can't even communicate. Pasuk 3, Hakshiva, Lekol Shavi, listen to my crying. Again, all these various terms of listening, these various forms of calling out. Malkiva Elokai, my king and my God. Again, obviously two very different ways of relating to Hashem. Ki Elecha et Palel. Because I turn, I daven to you. Notice the immediacy of it. Elecha, in Hebrew, you would say if someone's in front of you, it would be Elecha, like I'm talking to you. There's an intimacy there. There's a closeness. There's a proximity there. Now, what's interesting is we're three psukim in, and we know basically nothing, right? David HaMelech has waxed poetically about his relationship with Hashem, and we know that David HaMelech wants Hashem to listen to something, but we don't know what that is yet. Pasuk 4, Adonai boker tishma koli. Hashem, hear my voice at daybreak. Boker erach lecha ve'atzapeh. At daybreak, I will erach, right? We say erach shui, we talk about, right? I'm going to plead before you. Ve'atzapeh. Tzipita, tzipoi means what?
Expect.
Yearn, expect. Now, this is the only time in all of Sefer Tehillim that word is used, okay, which is interesting. So, David HaMelech, there's daylight, there's expectancy. Now, we're going to come back to that at the end, but in my mind, obviously, this is a key pasuk. Because anytime you see the word twice in one pasuk, we're clearly highlighting something. Boker, that daybreak, that morning, And again, think about everything we spoke about, what mourning represents, about the possibility, the expectation, the enthusiasm of what mourning represents. And therefore, that word atzapeh, that I'm yearning for something, I'm waiting for something, I'm expecting for something. Okay? Obviously, in the most ideal terms, what is mourning? When we say it's full of possibilities,
hope.
It means the world is my oyster, mm-hmm. right? Everything I dream and hope and yearn for is possible in the morning. I actually just read this morning, I'll mention it now because it doesn't really tie in, but I'm going to come back to the Sefer later on, but this is a magnificent Sefer. It's by Rabbi Dov Zinger, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Mekor Chaim, which is in the Gush area. It's called Tikkun Tfilasi. It's absolutely magnificent. I spoke about it in Mincha Maariv the other night. And basically, the whole thesis of it is that to learn, and I know Rabbi Gober talks about this in the Emunah class all the time, but that is to talk to God doesn't happen in davening. We have to train ourselves to talk to God, and that will filter down into our davening. And what he does magnificently is he combines statements from Chazal about our relationship with Hashem, so whether it's a Rambam, whether it's a Gemara, whether it's a Perakat Tehillim, then he might quote something from Menachem of Breslov, sometimes from the Ger Rebbe, right? And then oftentimes he'll throw in his own Hebrew poetry. In other words, how he relates to davening, how he relates to that meeting with Hashem. And then the last part is, gets very practical. What is your homework going to be as a result of what we're talking about? We're going to get to this at the end of the class. But one of the things I was learning this morning is we say at the end of davening, right, Yehi Ratzon. Ratzon. We mentioned the word Ratzon. Ratzon means what?
Will.
Will. Okay? He says, Ratzon, it's more than will. Okay? Ratzon is
desire.
Your desires. Okay? So when we talk about you l'ratzon imrei fri, Hashem, my word should be l'ratzon. It should be for your desire. What we're essentially doing during davening is identifying our core desires. He said, if you think about what davening really is, when I talk to God, it's what I'm really asking myself is, what do I really want? Right? When you have that 5-minute conversation, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, depends if you have the 7 o'clock minute, it's a minute and a half, right? Whatever it is, right? So when you have that conversation with God, what are you talking about? What are your deepest needs, desires, wants that you are going to make the most out of that conversation with the Almighty, with the Creator of the universe? That's what davening really is. Yeah, it's about bakash, it's about shevach, it's about praising Hashem, and it's about thanking Hashem. It's about all of that. But at the end of the day, if you really think about and you boil it down to its core, and again, you're going to be hearing a lot about this book from me over the coming months because I'm really into it, right? But he says, if you really boil it down, it's about what do I want? What am I asking God for? When I get to Atachonein Ladam Das, Hashem, you give me wisdom. Well, why do I need wisdom? Why am I asking for wisdom? Is it so that I can, you know, day trade? Is it so that I can short the market? Is it so that I can outsmart another guy in business? It's like I'm in car lease mindset right now, so it's like I can outsmart the car dealership that clearly I will never be able to do because the house always wins, right? So what am I asking for knowledge for? Seriously, what do we use knowledge for? We say this bracha 3 times a day, right? Hashiveinu avinu sorasecha. Hashem, I ask you to turn me to Torah. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? How badly do I want Torah? If I really want Torah, do I make enough time for it? Is it the center of my day? Is that the periphery of my day? Okay. Refainu Hashem. Hashem, give me hell. Okay. So, Mirtz Hashem, hopefully for many of us around the room, we have health, we're aspiring for health. So what am I doing with my health? Okay, good. I ask God for health. Why should God give me health? How am I going to maximize that health when I get it? Barech Aleinu, right, Hashem, give me sustenance. Make it rain. Let the market stop tanking like it has been over the last month, right? We need good times. Fixed incomes. We need the market to go up. Why do I need the market to go up? What am I going to do with the market once it goes up? Is it I'm going to lease a Lexus instead of a Sonata? Or am I going to... Nothing's wrong with Lexus. I'm just saying. I'm just happy to be in my mind. Trust me, I ain't let either of them. But right now, but like seriously, what am I doing with all this? So if you really think about it, the essence of davening is defining my desires. It's defining my needs and my wants. What do I really at my core want from God, and why do I want it from God? And so when I ask Hashem for something, why do I want that? How am I going to use it? Why should he give it to me? What do I really want? What do I really want knowledge for? What do I really want parnasa for? What am I really going to use health for? How am I going to maximize those gifts from Hashem? So I don't even know how I got on that. Oh, vatzapeh, right? That notion of expecting, of wanting. So in the morning, when we come into davening, that's really what we're asking ourselves, is what do I want out of this day? Vatzapeh, I'm expecting something. Now again, David HaMelech is going to take this in a very different direction, but I'm going to tweak it a little bit, right? But what am I expecting from today? As I ask for all of these things, what do I want from them? And by the way, this is very overwhelming. Choose a bracha a week. Choose a bracha a day. And focus on that bracha. Knowledge. Why do I want knowledge? Why do I think knowledge is important? Why should Hashem give me knowledge? How am I going to use the gift of knowledge? What does knowledge even mean? Right? What does it mean not to have knowledge? How lucky am I that I do have knowledge and that there are those that don't have the capacity to understand things at the level that you and I can? Right? So all of these things, if you take a minute, it really defines what am I expecting from this day. Good, I've asked Hashem for knowledge. How am I going to use it today? Okay, how am I going to use that gift? Okay, so that's all Pasuk 4, and we're going to come back to Pasuk 4, because I'm going to continue to focus on that word boker, the morning, and what the morning represents. But again, we still don't know, we're 4 Pesukim in, we still don't know what David HaMelech wants. We know he wants something, we know he's expecting something, we know it's bothering him because he's begging Hashem to listen, and now we get to it in verse 5. And that is that there are evil people that are giving David HaMelech trouble. Ki lo el chafetz resha ata, Hashem, you shouldn't desire the wicked. Lo yagur cha ra, don't let evil, yagur means to dwell, don't let evil dwell amongst you. Lo yisyatzvu hololim leneged einecha, that people, hololim are, right, translate wanton, but it's people that run after stupidity, don't let them stand before you. Sanesa kopo aleaven, Hashem, you should hate those who do evil. So now already, we're a little bit cued in to what's bothering David HaMelech, that there is evil in the world. David HaMelech is troubled by the evil, and he wants Hashem to reject that evil. Okay? He's saying, Hashem, deep down, you should despise evil. Now, what about evil is bothering David HaMelech? So that goes to verse 7. To veid dovrei kazav. Toved means what? Like destroy, you should get rid of. Dovrei kazav, those who speak, kazav, we had this word last week.
Lies.
Right there, there are those who are speaking lies. Okay? Leneg, right, and you should get rid of them. Ish tamimu mirma yitaev adonai. You should hate taev, toeva means you should despise, you should abhor. Ish damim umirma, which means mirma is deceit, trickery. So we have kazav mirma, which means that there are people that are deceitful. There are people that are lying. There are people that are doing one thing publicly and expressing another thing behind the scenes. And Chazal tells, this is talking about Achitofel, who at the beginning was David HaMelech's right-hand man, switched over sides to Avshalom. And David HaMelech felt betrayed by that. And so he's essentially saying that there are people out there that are lying, cheating, stealing to get ahead. And instead of the world rejecting them, the world is saying, hey, if it worked for them, maybe I should try it also. Now, if we really think about this, this is an experience that we find every single day, right? The notion of tzaddik v'ralo, that bad things happen to good people, good things happen to bad people. But let's even take it in a very specific manner, which is in business. Right? Business. That there are people that lie, cheat, and steal, and succeed. And there are people that are honest and deal with integrity and dignity and don't succeed, right? What's the phrase? Nice guys finish last. Okay? And what David HaMelech is speaking to is, why should that be? Why should it be that people should be deceitful, that they should be inauthentic, and yet be successful? And so what he's davening to Hashem is, reject that evil. Reject that deceit. Reject those lies. Pasuk 8 seemingly comes out of nowhere, where he says, V'ani, but I, berov chazdecha avo beisecha. I, berov chazdecha, with an abundance of your mercy, avo beisecha, I come into your house, Eshtachave el Echal Kachcha Birasecha. And I bow down, I prostrate myself, El Echal Kachcha Birasecha, with awe and with reverence. Some of the Meforshim point out, what's David HaMelech pointing to here? Is that whereas, remember Avshalom last week, he lamented the fact that he was a showman. Everything he did was for everyone else to see. Mm-hmm. But David HaMelech is Avo Beisecha. I come into your house. In the house, who's there? It's private. David HaMelech says, I don't need to tell everyone how great I am. I don't need to tell everyone. I don't need to boast my successes and my relationship with you. While everyone else is boasting and posting on Facebook how great they are, I'm in the privacy of my own home. In the privacy of your Beit HaMikdash, the Beit HaMikdash wasn't built yet, but in the privacy of your temple, I'm being an authentic, religious Jew filled with integrity and morals and values. So Vani Berov Chazdecha Vovesecha, I, in contrast to those deceitful showmen, I try to do the right thing. Adonai Necheni Betzikasecha Leman Shorai. Hashem, help me in this. Right? Give me the strength to do this properly. Hayishar lefanai darkecha. Right? Straight, make me straight on your path. In other words, help me out, Hashem. Because it's really hard to do the wrong thing, right thing. When everyone else around me is doing the wrong thing and succeeding, it's really hard to do the right thing. Okay? It's why we have laws to protect whistleblowers in this country. Because when everyone else is cheating and scamming, and you want to do the right thing, it's really hard. And so we give incentive to people, legally, to do the right thing in this world. Pasuk 10, Ki ein b'piyu nechonak kirbam havos kever pasuach gronam l'shonam yachalikun. Very explicit words. Kever pasuach gronam, which means that their throat is an open grave. Their mouth is an open grave. Which means, how would you define that? That a mouth is an open grave. Such a magnificent imagery.
Body mouth?
It's more than that.
It's toxic.
It's toxic. It leads you into it's an endless pit. When you think about a grave is something you go into and you can't get yourself out of, fortunately. Right? You're dead, right? So if I embark in that journey of following that deceit and those lies, there's no coming back. Right? Kever pasuach ronam, their mouth. And we know this. Right, that cynical person that is just a toxic environment. Once you go, it's very hard to extract yourself from relationships like that, from friendships like that, from people who exude that negativity. Right, it's a bottomless pit that you can't get yourself out of. It's very striking imagery. Kever pasuach ronam. Okay. Then again, he says, Hashimem pasuk 11, Hashimem Elohim yiplum motzoseim bero pishem hadicheu ki maru vach. Again, Hashem, cast them away, throw them off, condemn them, and if you do that, v'yismechu kol chosei bach le'olam yiranenu, that those who believed in you, Hashem, will v'yismechu, they will rejoice. V'taseich aleimo. Taseich comes from the word schach, sukkah, right? You will be a shelter for them. V'yaltzu b'cha o'avei shemecha, and they will rejoice. Right now, think about all the imagery of happiness and rejoice that when you protect the righteous and punish the wicked, when you give us a sense of fulfillment that we did the right thing all this time, that will be the eternal joy that we are so desperately craving. Ki atah tevarech tzadik Adonai, because you bless the righteous. Katsina ratzon teatrenu, watsina is a shield. You are a shield for those who do your will, who do your ratzon. Okay? So at first blush, the pshat of this Parakat Tehillim is David HaMelech is going through an internal struggle where everyone around him is succeeding by doing the wrong thing, and David HaMelech is just trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And he's doing it in privacy, but he's asking Hashem, remember we started the first four psukim, he was asking for something, we didn't know what it was. He's asking for Hashem for the strength and the fortitude and the courage to do the right thing despite the fact that everyone around him is doing the wrong thing. I want to focus though for a second on two psukim in particular. And that is Pasuk 4 and Pasuk 8. Pasuk 4, if you recall, said, Adonai boker tishma koli, that in the morning, listen to my voice, boker erach lecha v'atzapeh, in the morning I will daven to you, v'atzapeh, and I'm waiting, I'm expecting, I'm hoping for something. And then Pasuk 8 was, v'ani barov chazdecha v'ovesecha, that with mass amount of your chesed, I come into your house and I daven in your sanctuary, be yirasecha, with awe and reverence. Chazal learned from this, these two psukim they put together, and they say that pasuk 8 is the pasuk we're supposed to say right before we come into shul. As we are entering into shul, before we cross that threshold, we are supposed to stop, pause, right? Matovu alecha Yaakov mishkenosecha Yisrael, va'ani berov chazdecha avo ve'secha eshtachava lechachetcha birasecha. That is the thing we're supposed to say as we come into shul in the morning. Why? Why are these, and again, how do they know in the morning? Because of Pasuk 4, because of Boker, Tishma, etc. So look at the sheets that I gave you. Okay. So turn the page to page 2. This is from Rav Pinkus, his Sefer on Tefillah. And he points out the following. So it's page number 1, which is really page number 2, but I didn't count page number 1. So kind of like the Tehillim was the cover page, and now we're going on to page number 1. Okay? What does it mean, V'ani barov chazdecha v'vesecha? That through your chesed, I come into your house? How do you understand that? Why do we need God's kindness to come into his house? I don't ask for my wife's, I mean, maybe I should, but I don't ask for my wife's kindness to come into my house. Okay? Right? Why do I need God's kindness to come into my house, his house? Yeah? No right, no wrong. We're all friends here.
Still impure. I mean, we're not.
So we're not. We might not be worthy, right? We're not worthy. So I ask God essentially for help to come into his house. Okay, anyone else? So I think it's much more fundamental than that. And it really strikes at the core of what davening is, which is davening doesn't make sense. We should not be allowed to daven. We should not be worthy of davening. It's illogical for finite, impure, imperfect human beings to be able to have an audience with the creator of the universe 3 times a day. That is illogical. And the only reason it works is because God affords us that opportunity. It's God's chesed that allows me to come into a shul. So says Rav Pinkus, when we say those words, v'ani, berov chazdecha, what we're affirming is that this doesn't make sense, I'm unworthy of this, and yet, Hashem, you are incredible, you're amazing, and therefore you're allowing me the opportunity to come in to talk to you? Wow. So we're setting the stage for that conversation. The stage for that conversation is, I don't deserve it, but you're amazing, you're giving me this opportunity, and parenthetically, therefore don't blow it. Right? Because if I'm given this opportunity, he says where I have the arrow on the right-hand side, he says, is that the paragraph I really want to word? Yeah. Right, he says, Od kasvu, Shemiyad kishenichnas bepesach beis hakneses. That the second you come into shul, so you say this phrase, v'ani berov chazdecha v'vesecha, our pasuk. Right, and what does that mean? V'tichavein berov chazdecha, the kavana, what we're supposed to be thinking, with these words, berov chazdecha, hu ha-chesed ha-elyon. It's the incredible chesed, asher anu tzrichim elav tamid, that we're constantly dependent on God. Specifically, Kishanu nichnasim leichal hamelech lishol bakashosenu, that when we come into the room of the king to ask for our needs, that is chesed. That is Hashem's kindness. And he's quoting the Arizal. And the Arizal therefore says that what you're supposed to do is pause before you come in. Right? I have it underlined in the next paragraph. Okay? He says, what does this mean? Lis akev ma'at bepesach kodem shikanis. Lis akev ikuv means to pause for a second before I come in. What does that mean? He says, Yeshna mashmut pshuta. So this is very simple. Nidreshet hachana lifnei hatfila. You can't run into davening. Davening requires a moment, 2 moments, 5 moments, whatever it is, a preparation. La'atzur rega lihitboninut. To pause for a second, and to think. And what are we specifically thinking about here? What a chesed it is that God has given me the opportunity to talk to him. Lanu kashim od l'kayim alachazu misiba pshuta. So this is easy to do, but it's easy to talk about, hard to do, for one simple reason. Anu ma'achrim l'tvila. We're always late. Okay? Vim od natzor l'rega. And if I pause another minute, I'm going to be even more late. Okay, I was I learn with a group of guys on Tuesday nights in my house. So we were talking about this last night. I have this illness, which is that I'm chronically 2 minutes late to Shacharis every morning. Now, the irony of that is I've never once been late to Mincha Ma'ariv in my life. So I'm a pretty much an OCD type A personality and everything else. I'm never late to anything. I'm a yekka, but not a yekka, right? My brother's like a yekka on steroids. I'm a junior yekka in training, but I'm pretty timely in, and you know, so my wife and I have learned to navigate that. Everything just starts 15 minutes before it actually has to start to happen, right? But I'm chronically 2 minutes late to davening, and I can't figure out why. Instead of leaving my house at 6:58, I can't leave at 6:50. The 8 minutes of sleep ain't making a break in whether I'm awake in the morning. The answer is discipline, right? The answer is discipline. And I surmise that if I could leave the house at 6:50 instead of 6:58, so it would change my davening. Because instead of if you leave at 6:58, I get there 7:02. By the time I get on my tallis and tefillin, it's 7:06. And at the 7 o'clock minyan, you know, they're up to Baruch Hu at 7:11. So that gives me like 4 minutes to, it's not going to happen. But if I left literally 5 minutes earlier, 6 minutes earlier, 8 minutes earlier, and I could pause for 30 seconds, 10 seconds, 5 seconds before coming into shul, and really focusing on Vani Baruch Hashem. Anyways, I was talking about this last night, and I said, you know what? I'm doing it. And so this morning, I left my house 5 minutes earlier. I was at shul. My tallis and tefillin were on at 6:58. So I texted the guys. I said, I want to thank you. I did it. I accomplished. And well, the irony is all of them, when we were talking about this, they also this morning made that commitment. So all of us were there. And by the way, I want you to know it changed my davening. It totally makes a difference. Totally makes a difference. Hillel Day School does this. Rabbi Englander instituted it when he was here. But when they say Baruch Atah Hashem, before they say Baruch Atah Hashem Gaal Yisrael, they pause for about 15 seconds. Right? You daven there sometimes, right? They pause for 15 seconds. And they don't say anything. And then they say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Gaal Yisrael. And then they go into Shemoneh Esrei. And the purpose of that is training the students to realize you don't just run into Shemoneh Esrei. But you have to know you're about to do something spectacular. Literally extraordinary. Not like extraordinary. It's illogical that we should be able to do that. So it's a chesed from Hashem. And we have to reflect upon that chesed. Turn the page to what Rabbi Zinger instructs us on. So you see here, at the beginning of a sefer, he talks about the way, we're on page 2, which is really page 3. Okay. You see, right at the beginning, he says, p'ticha means an introduction, navoa b'sharecha, which means the way we come into your gates, the way we approach you, Hashem. And what's the very first thing he talks about? Our pasuk in Tehillim. I underlined it for us. Right? Vani barov chazdecha. Then you see he has the Mishnah in Brachos, which talks about how we should daven. Ein omdim lispalo el mitok kovet rosh, that when you daven, it has to be with reverence and with a certain sense of respect. Then he quotes the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, where the Rambam talks about kavana, and kavana basically means blocking out everything else and focusing on the extraordinary undertaking that you're about to partake in. And then, magnificently, on the left-hand side, he writes from his heart. Now, this is not Chazal. This is what I would call his poetry. And I want to read it with you because I think it's gorgeous. Literally gorgeous. Okay, he writes, B'tfilatenu, anu ba'im lebeit Hashem. In davening, we come into the house of Hashem. Omdim lefnei ha-melech. We stand before the king. Ponim el av harachaman. We turn to our merciful Father. Mit masrim la'avat hadod. We give ourselves over to the love. Right? We talk about like you lose yourself in love. You give yourself over. You make yourself vulnerable to the love of Hashem. Hatfila hi chesed. Davening is chesed. It's Hashem's chesed to us. Hashem gives us that gift. And then again, the play on the word, hachasid shoheh. We are the chasid now. Right? We pause. Mechin et libo lifnei atfila. We prepare our hearts before davening. Kinagein hamechavein atakli terem hanigina. Right? I used to play the clarinet growing up. First 2 minutes of every lesson, was making sure the reed was proper, that it was right. Think about any pianist, you have to make sure it's tuned up. When my mom played cello, so she only takes it out once a year when the kids come up, so she has to tune it. You would never dream of playing in an orchestra unless you spent 5-10 minutes beforehand tuning your instrument. So he says, we are the kinagain. We are about to sing music to Hashem. But how could you do that unless you make sure that your instrument, in other words, our voice, our heart, our mind, is tuned properly? Miachel lekot salul vahir. We prepare ourselves because we want it to be a clear voice. We want it to be beautiful, melodious. Next paragraph. But again, to me, this all resonated beautifully. Betoch marutz hachayim. In the midst of the craziness of our lives, right, roots, like the running, the hastiness of our lives, bo anu ovrim mimishima limishima. We're always going from one thing to another. Hatfila hofechet bekalut limishima nosefet. And davening just becomes like one other thing. Hasodhu, the key to all of this is bishihia, which means waiting, pausing. Lavo kodem liyashev ma, to come a minute early and to sit quietly. Lavor mehasia lahavaya, from going, and he says it on the next line, from doing
to being,
which to me resonated. We're always doing. Sometimes we have to practice just being. Being present in the moment. Lidomeim etamanoa, right, to quiet all of the movement. Shedochev oti kol eit kadima, which is always pushing me forward. Our entire life is going more and forward. It's the rat race of life. And davening is my chance to go from that doing to just being. Lahavir etaish shetaif oti kikadur pareach, to light the fire that's jumping out of me like a ball that's being thrown heavenwards, heaven, right? Lahagvir etanochachot sheli, to strengthen my presence. Shela olam hasvivi, to notice the world around me. Liyashev et dati, to quiet my mind. Leorer et haratzon hapnimi hakamuspi, to inspire that deep desire that's hidden inside of me. Right, again, remember we spoke about the desire. What do I really want at a davening? Lamod lifnei Hashem, lavo b'sha'arav, to stand before God and to enter into His gate. That, to me, if you want a paragraph that summarizes what davening is, like, wow, it's magnificent. Now, if you think that's amazing, turn the page. Okay? So page 3, on the right-hand side, he reaffirms that davening doesn't start when we come into shul. Davening starts before we come into shul. The way we walk to shul, the way we enter to shul, is going to define our davening. But then he says on the left-hand side, it's unbelievably practical. Now, I want you to notice the structure of his paragraph. Right? The way poetry is written oftentimes tells you a lot about the poetry. I don't know if he does this purposefully, but I think it is. How big are the lines when you first start off? They're wide. What does he end with? One word. Okay? Mm-hmm. What are we really doing? We're taking a lot of noise in our life and we're condensing it. Because davening at the end of the day is very simple. It's what I would call in Hebrew a pegisha. It's a meeting with your Creator. That's all it is. So you start with like this, and by the time you enter into davening, you want it to be right here, focused on one thing. My mind is quietest. So listen to what he says, okay? Yotzimetz el asadeh. How are you going to do this? He says, go into the field, el aginan, to the vineyard. O el kol makom sheket acher. Go into a quiet place, okay? Right? Depending on what block you live on, Montoya Circle, some are quieter than others. Okay, Baruch Hashem, I only have to listen to a barking dog in the morning. Just joking. Okay, so he says, go spend a minute in quiet. Yeah, I'm just joking. I'm giving Penny a hard time. For me, I've spoken about this a lot in the past. It's running, right? I love running early in the morning. To me, that's like this experience for me. I don't run with headphones. It's me. It's nature. It's watching it get birds. Lighter. The birds. That's what this is for me. Noshmim amok. Take a deep breath, he says. Otzmim einayim umakshivim. Close your eyes and listen. Minasim lesofet kol hakolot anishmim b'sviva. Try to listen to all the sounds that are surrounding you. Lavchin b'neihem, to decipher between them.
Is that in shul?
No, he's saying before you even get to shul.
Oh.
Right? Kol hatarnagol, whether it's the chicken, avushet haruach, the wind, Saona mechoniot bekvish, cars that might be driving by, sounds close, far, strong, soft. Marichim et areach bavir, smells et areach adama, the ground, the trees. Manichim lo lachdor amok pnima. What beautiful words, right? Let it penetrate deep inside of you. So just listen. By the way, if you ever go into the Rand Sanctuary, okay, you even have it here. So lights make noise. We don't appreciate them because it, right? But he's like, pay attention to what's going on around you. Now, once you've done that, bullet point two. Potchim et einayim. Open up your eyes. Mavitim saviv. Look around. Minasim leavchin bepratim shnealmu meitanu adata. Notice things that you didn't notice previously. Whether it's space, the sky, the leaves, the flowers. Chashim betam shebepeh. Try to feel their taste in your mouth, right? The fruits, the trees. Mimashim et ha'etz, touch the trees. Nogim ba'adama, the ground. Chashim et megaguf, notice what you're feeling, right? Stress, my shoulders are tense, whatever. Okay? Nosnim la'talalim, la'richut, la'marot. Give the sounds, the smells, the sights. L'tamim u'lamagal akot banu, taste and touch. Lachdor amo pnima, again, to penetrate inside of you. Liyot lechad im hahit rachshut hasovevet, to be one with what's taking place around you. Chelek mea yekum shetvila hi sifato neviato hidofek hachaim upnimosam. Right, that part of davening is to hi sifato neviato. It's the expression of my language. Hidofek hachaim upnimosam. It's the pulse of my life. Right, davening. What he's saying isn't just words, but it's you're putting your essence into it. You're putting who you are into it. So you have to become, you have to know who you are. You have to be with who you are. And then, once you've done that, ke'eta nechochot mugberet le'in aroch, right? Now that your presence has been mugbarot, which means it's been enhanced, it's been strengthened, ve'kach magim le'beit ha'kneset. Now that I'm aware of myself and aware of my surroundings, and I am focused and present, then I come into shul. Belev pashut lirvacha, with a heart that is open, wide, bipsia raka, a soft step. In other words, I'm not running in at this point, but I'm at peace. Nochachim, I am present, petuchim, and I am open.
Beautiful.
Right? I'm open to that relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm open to that encounter. I'm open to that experience that I'm about to have. Okay? And then if you turn the page, he says, again, just go to the bottom left-hand side. He gives homework. He says, bullet point number one, Bochrim et echad mimot hashvuah. Take one morning of the week. Right? Start slow. Baboker oso yom mizdar zarim bekima uvidar gud. One morning, right? Thursday morning, Friday morning, whatever it is. Wake up with a certain alacrity and a certain zealousness. Umagim lebeit hakneset b'mihirut hafsharit im efshari beritza. Right? Come to shul a little bit early. Don't sluggishly walk to shul, but work on what we just spoke about, right? With a zealousness, with an enthusiasm. Bullet point two. B'knisa lebeit hakneset natzrim. As you come to shul, pause for a second. Mazdirim et neshima. Quiet your breathing. Mit ma'alim b'yira makom. And appreciate where you're entering. Right? It's hard at BRS because the shul is a multi-purpose room. And so you could be in the sanctuary for a bar mitzvah 1 minute and then davening there the next minute. But if you really think about it, it's the holiest, most sanctified, sacred place we have on earth. In the absence of a Beis HaMikdash, we have the shul. That is our sanctuary. Okay? We've referenced in the past that they have the situation room. Or when you come into the situation room, you know this place is different. You leave your cell phone at the door. Important stuff happens here. Our sanctuary is our situation room. That is where important stuff happens. And then third bullet point, and why I'm talking about all this, is Omrim et ha-pasuk v'ani baruch hazdecha v'ovesecha eshtachaveh elechal kachcha birasecha. Reference this pasuk in Tehillim, that because of your chesed Hashem I'm coming in birasecha I recognize the awesomeness and the reverence of this place, and then v'nichnasim lihitpalel, and then you can come into David. Okay, so morning for us is pregnant with possibilities. Think about the words of David HaMelech, Va'atzapeh, that I am yearning, I am waiting, I am hoping for something. And what does Chazal tease out from those words? What are we hoping and yearning for? We're hoping and yearning for that authentic relationship with Hashem, right? That's what we're craving. At the end of the day, what are our lives and what are we striving for? We are striving for that most authentic, hopeful, genuine relationship with the Creator. And so Chazal looked at Pasuk 4, where it spoke about the morning, and it looked at Pasuk 8, and it combined them together, and it gave us instruction for what our morning should look like. And again, why I bring you Rav Zinger's book is to recognize that his poetry is simply the modern manifestation of what Chazal were explicitly trying to tell us, of how we come to shul, of how we wake up in the morning, of what we do in those first few moments in the morning, and how davening does not start when you and I come into shul. It starts long before that. It starts in the way I come to shul. It starts in my mindset as I'm coming to shul. It starts with my encounter with the world around me. And again, to me, I don't know if he did it on purpose, but even the way he wrote it resonated so strongly with me, where he started with these big lines and ended with one word. Mm-hmm. Because that's what the morning is. The morning is taking a lot and condensing it to a little and basically saying, like, what is this really about? What is my day about? What are my priorities? What are my aspirations? What are my hopes and dreams for today? What is my ratzon? What are my deep-seated desires? And when you've outlined that, then you can come into davening. I don't think he's asking us to do it for an hour a day. I think this can take anywhere from 10 seconds to 2 minutes to 10 minutes, right? Or to however long you want. But I do believe that it could be as simple as 10 seconds. I really believe that. I believe as simple as 10 seconds that before you open the door to shul, before you cross that threshold, you take a second to say, this is amazing. Logic doesn't dictate that I should be able to come into a place like this and talk to the Creator of the universe. Or, this is amazing. I'm entering into the situation room. I'm entering a place where amazing things happen, where important conversations take place, where nothing should be distracting me from these conversations. And his argument, and I believe it's what Chazal wanted us to understand from David HaMelech, is that when you prepare yourself properly for that conversation, then the conversation can really take place. Okay? Same way if you were talking to a friend and you're checking your phone every 5 seconds and you're looking down, it's not a real conversation. Right? There are words coming out of your mouth, but it's not when you're having an emotional, vulnerable, meaningful conversation with another person, what do? Put your phone away, you look the person in the eyes, there's nothing else in the world taking place. Our conversation with Hashem deserves at least that level of respect and preparation. Everyone have a great week.
Thank you.